This summer, prepare for a bloodbath as Joe Buker stars in Psycho Froggy, The Killpocalypse.
Hey, Debbie, let's stop in this nasty old Northwoods tackle shop and see what they're biting.
Sounds great, Ted, for sure.
Welcome to my humble bait shop. Oh, don't you kids know it's a full moon out there tonight? Ought not to be dipping your pretty little toes in the water.
Hey, mister, we just want to catch some big fish.
And maybe do some skinny dipping.
The old-timer says that on the full moon nights in the Northwoods, the waters are dangerous. And dangerous on account of that half-man, half-frog that stalks the water's edge. Legend says there's a psycho froggy out there. But what do I know? I'm just a crusty old bait store guy. Hey, how many flatheads do you want?
Terror knows no bounds when the psycho froggy's in town.
Debbie, what a wonderful night. You just so rad. I want to go skinny dipping with you here in the Northwoods.
Oh, Ted, you're such a babe. Let's go for a swim.
Debbie, what's that over there on the rocks?
Ted, it looks like a frog, but it's the size of a man.
No, Debbie, it looks like a man that's a frog.
No, Ted, it looks like Joe Buker.
Debbie, watch out. It's a psycho froggy.
I told them kids in thousands, just like them before, the psycho froggy ain't no tall tale. No one would suspect that Freshwater Hall of Famer, a musky legend, Joe Buker, would turn into the psycho froggy. But he do, but he does. I might be crusty and smell like a sucker tank, but I know them woods and I know them waters. Ain't no one safe from the psycho froggy.
Psycho Froggy, The Killpocalypse is rated NC-17 and is based on a true story. Parental discretion is advised.
Alright folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast, a Jaybird.
It's gonna be a bloodbath.
It's gonna be a bloodbath in the Northwoods when the psycho froggy's near.
Oh man, I can't wait to see that movie, huh?
Oh, premiering live at the Muskie Shop Bash, July 27th, 2024.
Oh, baby.
Get your Psycho Froggy poster. So, Joe doesn't know about the Psycho Froggy movie. However, I have a great idea, Jay.
Okay.
It's not my idea. It's Jody's idea.
Okay.
And it took... I had to buy her, like, $16 worth of, like, Sour Patch Kids for her to play Debbie.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Makes sense.
You got to trade, right? She's like, this is dumb. I was like, just please do it. So, every year I do this thing where we try to make the pros awkward. Make them feel weird. Nothing makes me feel weird. I'm impervious. This year, I will give you what we'll call it the Muskie 360 prize pack. So, Kraken, Titan Jr., anything we can cobble up, a bag full of old musky crap, Jay, right? Mm-hmm. We'll saddle you up. Whoever presents Joe Buker with the best macaroni art of Joe Buker at the Musky Shot Bash.
Oh.
Start working on it now. And what you've got to do when you walk up to me and say, I've been thinking about you a lot, and I made this macaroni art of you.
Oh.
So that's as creepy as it gets, right? We want to weird him out. Last year was the cheese block.
Yeah.
This year, starting your macaroni art right now. I'm talking gluing poster boards, preferably portraits, and you gotta have like stalker obsession. Like, Joe, I've been thinking about you a lot, and I made this. And you hand it to him. The weirder, the better.
Beautiful.
Preferably you put his name at the bottom in macaroni. Mm-hmm. Right? So go to the store. Go to Menards. I don't know if they sell. They sell macaroni at Menards, Jay.
They sell everything at Menards.
Right.
Steve.
So get you some elbow macaroni and a poster board, maybe some Elmer's glue.
Elmer's glue.
Start gluing some macaroni down, right? And you go, hey, maybe someone will do something like on par with like Leonardo da Vinci, the Sistine Chapel of musky macaroni art.
Sure.
But if you want to make me laugh and make Jay laugh and make Joe Booker cringe, which is the goal at all times, the best Joe Booker macaroni art that you walk up to him and say, I've been thinking about you a lot, Joe, and you hand it to him at the Musky Shop Bash, July 27th this year. I will give you, you ask for anything, I'll give it to you.
Great idea.
It is, Jay. And the winner, here's the thing. I will hang it in the bait cave and reference it continually. Be like, listen. Yeah. Me and Jody were laughing the other day. We're like, remember, like, the first thing was, like, bring deviled eggs and offer them to Joe. And, like, two people. Always hilarious. Yeah. I'm sitting there talking to him and like, dude, like, Joe, deviled egg.
In the heat.
In the heat. And you're like, it's like, it's so awkward. You're like, no, thank you. And then we had the cheese signing. We've had some other stuff. So this year's Musky Shop Bash, if you tell him, if somebody comments on a YouTube video or on Facebook, you suck. Don't tell him, right? Make your macaroni art and you walk up to him and say, I've been thinking about you a lot. And I made this for you, Joe.
Well, he's got to know. I mean, sooner or later, he's in the film, right?
Well, if this year he was like, why is everybody? He literally walked over to the Livingston booth, right? He said, why are people asking me to sign cheese, Steve?
What are you up to?
And I'm like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, exactly. You're like, oh, who would be that dumb? Right. So I'm one of the few people on planet Earth that can screw with him. So working your macaroni art, right? Preferably it has his name at the bottom of macaroni. The worse and creepier, the better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, if you're like, Joe, I've been thinking about you a lot, and this is what you look like lifting weights in macaroni art. I don't know. Have at it, folks. Have at it. The reason we did the Psycho Froggy, apparently there's some Psycho Froggy top raiders in the house, Jay, correct?
Yeah, we got a few, sure.
There you go. Pretty cool collar. It's Psycho, it's Froggy. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and if you get the top dancing raider thing, you can walk the doggy. You can Psycho Froggy walk the doggy with it.
Psycho Froggy walk the doogie. So the 25th, I'm looking at the watch here. It is the 25th today. So if you're listening before midnight, $50. $50 on a gift card if you buy what? A reel?
Any reel. Yeah.
I mean, pretty good. Ain't mad about it. If you need a reel, you missed the boat, Jay.
Yeah, there's a few hours left, so... Yeah, capitalize on that. That's a great deal.
It'll be out here soon.
We've got a million in stock. We got a great one in store for next week, too. I can't let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Meow. I can't because it's not set in stone yet.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, for you guys that are in the South, every week I'm talking about what's going on. We're finally getting on those majors. Jay, today was a three fish day. Yesterday was two. Major.
Uh-huh.
Major. Hello. Major. That's all I'll say. And it seems like it's going to warm up really quick down here. And it sort of bodes like where you guys are at. It's not cold in the North Woods. It's not.
No.
It's going to be early. What's sort of like the ice situation or the ice fishing situation or where you guys are at?
There are still people ice fishing, but, you know, conditions are, I wouldn't say unsafe, but they're very, very sketchy. You got to use extreme caution if you go out anywhere. You know, there could be bad spots. We got a couple days coming here that it's going to be 50 plus degrees with some sun. So it's burning off the edges. Someone said they're on the local, like there was 9 inches earlier this week and the ice was honeycombing. There was some weird layers.
What does that mean?
It's breaking down, starting to melt.
Schmelt. I don't know what honeycombing is.
Yeah, bad ice is not a safe situation, so be careful if you go out. We're going to have an early ice out. There's no question about it. I'm hoping it's, you know, 3 weeks plus early, you know, maybe late March. So we'll wait and see here. Got some warm, above normal stuff in the long range. So it's looking great.
The binocle bats will be out there at any moment.
Yeah. Early practice this year, huh?
Yeah. They'll be dialed in, folks.
They will be dialed in
when you come in. So a couple of new things showing up. It we're almost to Schmarch. Long month of Schmarch.
Yep.
But that's when new things show up. Musky Frenzy, you got the IC7 dozer, right?
Yeah.
And an 8.9 dozer.
Yeah, a blade attachment deal. A lot
of
colors.
Which is, hey, you want to get in the hype, you want to get in the zone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone didn't pay for that. I just said it because I'm dumb. All these odd blade configurations, all this funky stuff, they make dozer blades of them. What I love about, say, the MEPS Musky Flash Boo or the Marabou, you can twist them off and you got a skirt section, blade section. So that's a kind of interesting take where you can get your hands on these dozer sections, which is cool in front of, say, a Susie Sucker or a Bulldog or whatever, you know.
Swim bait or something. Yeah.
Swim bait. Other stuff that showed up. Bobby baits. Blast from the past.
Yes. Right. And we have more coming too. More colors.
No longer just available in brown.
Yeah, right.
You want brown or you want black? Ghost Sucker black. Those two. I remember like, oh God. I hate them, but they're great baits, but chilling childhood memories on both of those.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hot Tiger, okay, that's new. Gold Perch. Hot Ghost. Ice Perch. Okay, they got some airbrush guns over at Bobby Bates now. Like, the black one where you can see the wood grain in it. Oh, I hate it. Frickin'. Nightmare fest. It's childhood trauma, Jay.
Okay, because you caught too many fish on that.
Just fighting to stay alive, Jay, in the back of the boat. They've got them dialed in now, but when you've been doing as long as I have, you're like, oh, okay, it is what it is. Jay, what are you thinking as far as new stuff? What's the rumor mill? What's the next new thing? Obviously Kamikazes, Krakens, Titans, we've got those in stock. I have one rumor that's not a rumor coming up on a bait, but what are you hearing? Like, I know Mads from Savage Gear was on. What are you seeing for 2024? I just kicked my boots off. Sorry.
Please do. The Savage Gear stuff. Yeah, kick back, dude. The Savage Gear stuff is looking great. They got a bucktail lineup. I know the audio was a little difficult to hear when Mads was on the boat with this heavy accent
from China. Sorry,
Fishing in a river. But they have an interchangeable weight system. Mm-hmm. They have a weight system internally on the bucktail wire, but there's also an additional clip-on, which will be sold separately as well as little packs, so you can add weight or remove it to get this thing to run at different depths, cast better, blah, blah, blah. That's different. That's cool. They've got some blade sizes that are kind of in between the normal U.S. stuff, you know, like everybody's got a number 8. Everyone's got a Mag 10. You're seeing a lot of 9s, Mag 9s. They've got 8.5s. They've got 7.5s. They've got 9.5s. So this is going to be putting out some different vibrations.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's something new. They're well constructed, and they all the colors are good. So could be nice moderate price point on them as well. And the other thing is that Burbot tube thing they got going. I don't know if you've seen that, but very cool. Very cool. It's an inline tube, but the colors are kind of a little bit more sophisticated than one color or two tone standard tubes. You know, they've got like the real fish patterns and stuff on there, and a lot of, you know, airbrush kind of patterns that look great. So
very cool.
And that thing has a removable tail spinner deal on it too. So looks like it's a pure soft plastic. It's not a Kraken, you know, I mean, the Kraken's obviously stands out because of the hard front section.
Right.
Durability and everything goes along with that. Simply a great bait. The Burbot's got serious good qualities to it. I've seen some video action of it, and I can't wait for early ice because I can get out and start filming some of this stuff and get some underwater footage going on some of these new things. So those two lineups from Savage, you know, there's 6 new bucktails in 10-12 colors. There's the Burbot. What else is in the pipe? The RJ lures.
There you go.
Yeah, we both love that stuff and caught multiple fish on them. They've got a 7-8 and an 8-9 double blade combo, kind of like a stagger blade type deal, like Frenzy does, with the offset blade combinations, of course, in their traditional really nice tied skirts in bucktail. So that'll be a little bit different because, like, you know, all these combo blade things generally have flashable blades. So a little bit different presentation. And those are coming possibly next week.
Nice.
He's really late making those. Those are, off the top of my head, those are things that are coming out really soon that are truly new. You know, some of the Big Fork stuff came in. I think we touched on that.
Tom LeBeau.
His beautiful Twitch starter, LIT crankbait. I've thrown that thing. It's a shallow diving, just really great swinging bait. What else we got, Steve?
I don't know.
Yeah. Some big spinner baits, some really affordable glide baits too. You know, Berkeley Nessie, Fish Lab Hyder Glide. One soft, one's hard, two piece.
Oh yeah, and they're kind of like turn the handle back, wacky schmacky.
Turn the handle and the thing's gonna swim. Yeah,
you got a bunch of the Euro stuff. I mean, it's interesting. So I'm headed over there and. God, I was looking at my calendar. It just never ends. I'll be over in Europe in 3 or 4 weeks. And what they're doing over there, you go, whoa, that's different than what we're doing here. You know, so I think like the Berkeley, which is, that's a big company. They're kind of going across the board. So we'll see there. It is what it is. Not a lot of hard baits coming out, but, you know, your blades, your staggers, your again, 'tis the season to make your own bucktails. I've always said that. So I know this, something I've not messaged him in a minute, but Don Jane's at Figure Eight. So we got a new spinnerbait coming out, Jay. Steve's Tailgater.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, you know now. So, Jim knows, a couple people know. And so, it's one of these deals where you go, the meat grinder has been just devastating. Tons of people have messaged, people bought it like crazy. They're like, whoa, this is somehow different. So, on the tailgater, what I've done is, you know, it is a Colorado with a rear four Willow off the back, right? And you go, why do you do that? This will be out, hopefully, the first week of March, somewhere in that neighborhood. Yes, it is a shallow spinnerbait. So, with a Colorado blade, it's going to run higher, right? And you can pick pocket with it. You can, like, run it, drop it, yo-yo. For you creakers, we got so many guys, and I think like last episode or a week before, we're talking about like shallow water guys. This is a shallow water pool paws bait. That's what it is. Right? Pull it like a bulldog, let it fall. Pull, fall, pull, fall. If you're fishing rivers, streams, creeks, you're a creaker, you're fishing out of a John boat or a bass and buggy, or you're fishing out of like small rigs, get ready. This is tailor-made for kind of our creaker thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got a big thump. It's an 8 and a 4, so it's a double blade. But with the kind of the meat grinder platform, what happens with this bait is when you pull it, it helicopters down, but you get the really fast spin of the back blade. So the back blade is spinning far faster than the front blade, which suspends it. So, you know, and there's a couple places I fish, Jay, where it's shallow water, or like where you're fishing, right? You're not going to strap on a mag dog because guess what's going to happen? You're going to get snagged.
Mm-hmm.
So the tailgater is going to be made for you guys that are fishing shallow stuff or a lot of wood. Treat these baits like dogs or deuces. Treat them like a rip bait. It's freaking unreal. Been smashing fish on this thing. So that's the next little Steve Paul offering coming out.
That is cool, Steve. You made it happen with the rear blade. That is, well, I honestly am just hearing about this really, yeah, the details for the first time. So yeah,
I sort of had it grumbling. I'm sorry, I should have told you, but
I knew you were working.
We were working on one,
but yeah.
And so this is a shallow water. Okay. Yes. Throw it out, turn the handle, fish on in like a spinnerbait. Cool. Mm-hmm. Great. Whatever. You know, would a rad dog have done it? Yeah. If it's a straight retrieve, cool. It's a spinnerbait bite. This is a spinnerbait pull pause bait for shallow water. Guess what? It's got two hooks. They're two singles, just like a meat grinder. And guess what they don't do? Snag. You can rip it and let it hit the bottom and rip it up again. So that 4 or 5 feet of water, especially in cold water conditions or bad conditions, what do we have to do, Jay? We have to go deep. So we needed a spinner bait, quote unquote, jerk bait, pull pause bait. Now, for guys that are boaters, you know, hey, pickpocket with it. Throw it at dark spots. Let it fall in there. Yeah, you're going to get some fish. This is a creaker bait. You know, we'll catch some fish on it on these inland lakes. It's kind of one of these things, I think, if you're a lake fishing guy, treat it the same way. It's a downsize, because you look at a spring dog, right? Spring dog's what, 5 inches, 6 inches with the tail, something like that?
Yeah.
Treat it like a freaking jerk bait. It's a jerk bait. I hate to say that. You go, it's a spinnerbait. Well, it is. It's a jerkbait, my dudes. Everybody else will buy it, and some boomers will throw it out there, and they'll turn the handle and go, whoa, it runs high. Okay, great. And you'll catch fish. Rip, let it fall. Rip, let it fall. Rip, let it fall. The Colorado suspends it while the Willow spins, and you have that body profile, and we're not getting snagged. This thing is for picking up fish in timber, deep timber, thick timber, shallow waters, your creeks, your rivers, your streams, you know, places that jerk baits dare not tread. So that's the tailgater. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it. If you can't tell, Jay. Me stoked.
He's going to have it done soon, huh?
Yeah, he'll have them very shortly here. We got a handful of Q&A here. We're going to hit them. Keeping it short this week. Jay, I'm living on the boat. Sam, my buddy was in your... Nope. I'll get back to that one. I saw that one. I read ahead. Sorry. Gary, I keep getting fogs, but no converts. What's the deal? Any help is appreciated. It seems like follow after follow, regardless of conditions. Jay, is that a figure eight problem? What is it?
You know, I saw a video today on Instagram or something where a guy was repeatedly getting follow after follow.
Uh-huh.
And his figure eights were
gaslight.
I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but
no,
there was no elevation change in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Big wide loops, turn the figure eight, and the fish would burn off. Then they, you know, cut to the next fish. Same thing. Couldn't hook them. They weren't biting. There was no elevation change in the figure eight. So, you know, like you've always said, watch a Joe Bucher video. Watch how he figure eights. Yeah. Watch how Steve does it. I mean, that's part of the game, and that's part of the game to get them to actually bite. You know, having fish come up and having a lot of follows is fun. It's exciting. Gets you thinking. Hopefully, gets you thinking. What have I done wrong, and what should I change?
Well, at a certain point, it's like one follow and they break off, two, three, pick your number, right?
Yes.
Where's your breaking point? At a certain point, it's you or your bait selection. Follow after follow after follow after follow. Take them down, bring them up. When you hear guys like, float the corner. So what that guide speak, if you will, is.
Mm-hmm.
We've driven their head down in the outside corner. We slowed it down where the fish catches up to it in the turn. But that's still an elevation change. Rods down, right? Bang, down at your feet. We've taken him down 4 or 5 feet. We bring him up in the corner. I've yet to see a muskie that is hot that can stand a bait fish that might breach the surface, right? Majority of my figure eight fish are in the turn, just like everybody else's, by creating a depth change down. So I'm lefty, right? So from my left-hand side, I'm driving the bait down, bringing it up on the right, driving it down the center, up on the left, right? So your outside turns are ups. Everything else is down, right? It's you know the infinity symbol, Jay?
Yes, sir.
That eight, like figure eight. The center of that is your deepest point. The outsides of an infinity symbol are your highest point. Down, up, racetrack them, right? The trick is getting their head pointed up. They're like, oh, right? Get their head pointed up. That's going to change the game for you. Where if it's this flat plane, it's just, I see these guys and maybe it's where you're fishing. There's been this thing of let's run topwater baits on the surface in a figure eight. I will go with the Joe Bucher camp where drive them down, right?
Yep.
Had plenty of time to hit. Drive them down, bring them up. Drive them down, bring them up. Floating the corner, which is like jam the rod down, speed, float it. And in the midst of that turn, you go, oh, you slow it down just a tick. Let the fish pick up on it. That has served me well, right? I could go on for days on that, but change it up also. I'm not afraid of ovals, Jay. I'm not. Where I come in, and if it's a really big fish, I oval off the rip. Turning radius, right?
Wider.
Yep. Wider. Make it wide. So address what you're looking at, and you go, okay, how do I keep this fish turning with me? If your eights are really tight, only dinks can follow.
There you go.
So make sure they're wide. Make sure you're floating the corners. Make sure there's a speed and a depth change. That will get you where you want to be. Okay, Fred.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was thinking about Mad's perspective on musky fishing the other day, a couple of weeks ago when he was on. Being a European guy, obviously he's in tune with pike, but what he noticed, you know, I wouldn't say his limited time musky fishing, because the guy's great and he spent a lot of time musky fishing, but far more pike fishing. His perspective was that the figure eight is so critical, and you've got it. Muskies can't stand it if they think the bait is going to get away from them.
That's it. We're playing keep away.
Yep.
The thing, no, you're right. It's however animal, which is a lot of times I think people come into a figure and they're going, I don't want to lose him. All right. Never slow down ever. If you are going slow on the cast and you bring him in, speed it up. Right. If you're going fast, go faster. I've never seen slowing down close the deal.
Okay.
It's an increase. It's a ramp, right? Slowing down, they'll go, whoa. My theory is this. Jay, we're in the woods, right? We're wearing beaver pelts as clothing.
Ooh.
We're holding hands. And T-Rex comes out of the woods. I will kick you in the knee and hopefully break your ACL. So he eats you first. I'm going to run like a madman. There is no bait fish that goes, nope, I'm going to slow down. They're freaking out. Right? Anything, once they realize there's a predator behind them, it is life or death. The figure eight is life or death. That's how important it is.
That's a good way to look at it.
Right? It's not, let's slow it down and force feed them. I mean, yeah, you can, on occasion, you get a chomper and you kind of launch back on them. There's a lot of ways you can do dumb stuff. But in general, that fish, the muskie has said, you know what? I'm going to eat you. And I am paying enough attention. I'm engaged. But I'll see guys slow down and go, eat it. No. You're Ugg, the freaking primordial soup caveman, wearing your loincloth, and T-Rex is chasing you down the freaking valley. Run for your life. Now, it should be proportionate to what happened on the cast. If things are moving slow, fast is a relative term, right? Read the follow. You hear it all the time. I'm reading a follow. I'm gauging the fish. If he backs off, yeah, slow her down a tick, but don't take fish in 40-degree water and burn it at the boat, right?
Relative, correct.
Yep. Ramp them up. And what I've done for years is bring one in, like, okay, ramp him up slightly faster, bam! Ramp the whole process up where you don't go from zero to a rocket ship. You speed the whole process up and you find the speed he'll eat at, which is not often the speed they'll engage at, right? So you might move fish in cold water and he eats in a moderately quick figure eight. Don't change your retrieve on the next cast. You're going to have to ramp them up. And it's like golf, you know, there's a lot of guys that get hit a hard driver, but what wins championships is putts, and figure eight is putting. So you're going to have to realize you're not going to get everyone, but the more time you spend in it, you go, okay, he came in and there's a 3-foot gap. What do I do? There's a 1-foot gap. If his nose is on the bait, we're playing keep away, right? Read the follow. If he's sluggish behind it, keep it sluggish at first. Let him close the proximity. You don't play keep away until he's right on it. Until he's right on it, right? That's the game. Anyway, Fred, what are your best pre-spawn patterns for open water? Seems like some of the mid-Midwest will have open water and open seasons very soon. I know it's unusual, but what are your best methodologies for catching pre-spawn fish? Whew, water temp's always going to play, Jay, right? Seems like 55's that magic musky number, most people think. What I'm looking at a lot of times with those mid to high 40s is like a staging of 8-0. And it depends. Like, you get an Indian summer day where things are warm on the shells, yeah, you might throw something super shallow. There's no pattern. It's a read. It's a read on the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a cold front? Do we have a warm front? It's the movements they're willing to make pre-spawn are pretty drastic. Now, with that being said, something I've seen that I think plays nonstop is they're staging near where they're going to spawn, which is littoral zones or creeks, right? Some of the biggest fish I've ever taken pre-spawn are staged outside of spawning areas, right? They're sitting there and they're waiting for a dance partner going, The other thing I'd say as far as a pre-spawn pattern, if you are like, okay, it's 53, Jay, like 53 degrees, we're almost there, right? Well, guess what the muskies have done already? They've eaten. You missed the feed up. A lot of you guys are going to have early ice that have open season. They're going to be like, let's throw pounders. They're about to spawn. No. Nay, I say, nay. Right? You're at the potluck dinner, Jay. You just ate 4 pounds of prime rib and a salad and a side of stroganoff. Well, you might be able to muster up a snack, right? Just a sliver of pie. The closer we are to spawn, the smaller I'm going. Right? Just a snacky poo. Why not? I can eat that.
Tasty.
Just to keep me going until I got to do this thing. I'm catching fish right now. They are fat little piggies, right? They got a gut on them. You can tell the females have egg weight. Everybody's like there. And I'm catching them on not big stuff, not monstrous stuff. The pounders and mag dogs and the 12-inch gliders are put away, right? It is, moderate. It's a snack.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at pre-spawn muskies, where you go, okay, if you're not getting action or love on, because there's a point where pre-spawn fish are, all right, here comes the pounder, right? Here, a 34 will eat a pounder. Well, there's a certain point where the biggest fish are like, give me a little snacky poo. So you got to gauge what's going on. So like Dr. Bob sent me a message where he's going to have open water very soon, right? Well, he's like 3-4 weeks ahead, where you've got to gauge what's happening. How close to the spawn are we? How close to that 55 are we in the shallows? Maybe we're there, maybe we're not. Look at pre-spawn staging. Where are they going to spawn? Shallow zones, warmest water, littoral zones, blah, 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 blah. And address those with moderate size baits, right? Don't get in there swinging the freaking, 43-inch crankbait. You might get a follow, but they're snacking, right? We're full. It's post-Thanksgiving dinner. You're going, one more, Jay. Will you try the key lime pie? Well, I shouldn't, but just give me a sliver. That would be the take there. Sandy, when should you downsize to bass tackle in the spring? I get follows, but no bites. It seems like a yearly thing. That's the counter to what we just talked about. When do we go smaller? again, the magic number for most muskies is 55. Seems like the thing, right? Comes up all the time. 55. Like, okay, they're going to do the thing. You got to figure out, have they spawned or not? Play with bass stuff. I call it busky fishing, right? So you hit a major, you hit like great weather. Just go one for one, like one cast with this, one cast with that, and see it. When I'm going down to say like an AC Shiner or a Howler Deep or some of these quote unquote busky baits, I know the spawn happened. We're on the recoup, right? You're going to have to play with it. You know, what am I getting feedback on? You know, I'm throwing a hell puppy and nobody's looking at it, but I'm throwing a 4-inch bass crank and I'm getting follows. Well, follow that trail, right? You're going to have to get feedback on your water. There's one I hit here before and I'm just going to go for it, right? Sam, my buddy was in your boat in the last couple weeks. What's up with the Magnus? Whoa. Nothing, Sam. Nothing. Jay knows. Couple people know. He doesn't know the name. So there's another little thing in the works there. I can't talk about it. I literally can't. Daryl, I'm looking for the right setup to be able to cast and troll as far as a boat on a small river. What do you think the minimum boat size is for a solo angler or a plus one? Jay, you run a small rig, river fishing. He wants to cast, he wants to troll. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, 15-foot boat. That's all you need. You can fish two out of that.
What, a 15?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the size. I mean, if it's a small river and you got a lot of skinny water to deal with, you need something with no draw, you know, that you can go anywhere with.
Yeah, no draw.
It's light if you get into trouble. Yeah, so it'll get the job done. I mean, I got a small boat for river fishing and it's, got the rod holders on there when I need to troll. It's pretty simple operation.
What do you run? I think you run, a 9.9 4-stroke?
Yep.
I mean, in pretty much any current, you can get back where you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Where, I think we'll go 20 miles an hour. So,
well, that's plenty. Yeah. You know, so 15, 16, you could get like a 15, 16 foot John.
Yeah.
With a 9.9. I think those weigh nothing. Like, yeah, like an aluminum John boat or you've got kind of like a semi V.
Right.
Right, yep. Where two guys could pick the boat up minus the engine, practically. Mm-hmm. I think you're like one step above creeking, where you're fishing mid-sized rivers, where you want access. I mean, Jay, you run a trolling motor, though, too. It's not like you're just doing some drift boat with a jet or something like that, where you're like middle of the road.
Yeah, and you've seen where I launch, you know, just like, yeah, last year, it's like the water was ridiculously low half the season.
It won't be this year, yeah.
Pretty nasty, so. No, it's still dry here, dry.
No snow.
Yeah, not like you, though. Yeah, you've got all that. Oh, my gosh.
We've been flooding and scudding. We're supposed to rain for days, so. If you're fishing those mid-sized rivers, Jay said 15, 16 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get a 9.9 for practically, I mean, I would say nothing. I mean, everything's expensive now, Jay. But you can get, say, a 9.9. You don't need a 36 volt trolling motor. You get a moderate size trolling motor and do some damage there. Oh my goodness, this is like the longest question here. Okay. Eric, longtime podcast listener, Musky Shop Bash attendee, longtime Musky Shop customer. I have upped my Musky game from all the information and tactics given on the podcast. I do have a question, but want to share a real experience. I recently had a life-changing surgery based on hearing the heartfelt obituary of Dick Stempke. After a long talk with my wife, I decided to not follow Dick and the father and take a Valium to help our sire any more children. he goes on forever about a vasectomy. I read this. I died, right?
Okay.
I'll send it to you, Jay. He talks about huffing ether with the Smitties, you know, the whole bit. Oh, man. I'll just have to publish that. Eric, thank you so much. It's like 4 days of reading it. Hold on.
That sounds awesome.
I'll just do it. Forget about it. I recently had a life-changing surgery based on hearing the heartfelt obituary of Dick Stemke. After a long talk with my wife, I decided to not follow Dick and father any more children. So I scheduled a vasectomy. On the way to the clinic, I was told to take a Valium to help relax. This proved not enough to calm my nerves. I remembered how calm I was when making baits in my basement and grabbed my trusty resin rag before we left the house. I placed it lightly over my face, then let my memories fade away. This proved to be a bigger relaxer than I thought. When I arrived at the clinic, I was in such a good mood. I was giving out high fives and super excited to end the possibility of fathering a child. The wonderful staff at the clinic took me back to the procedure room where they took care of all my needs. I was nervous and asked the nurse to sing Soft Kitty. He politely said no. He did not know the song. The doctor asked if I had any questions before he began. I asked if he had an Allstate insurance. With a puzzled look, he asked why. I said, I just want to know. I was in good hands. After we all had a laugh, they told me to put my headphones on and relax. I did so to the crazy ramblings of episode 222. As soon as I heard your two voices, I was totally at ease. Until they pulled my underwear down where I shouted, shouldn't we do dinner first? Followed by this is not how I thought my first three was going to go. The doctor was a good sport and said, relax. I did and let my mind just float away to the heavenly ramblings of Stephen Paul during the procedure. I was chuckling at what was said on the podcast. Everything was buttoned up. I was ready to head home. And the doctor asked me what I was listening to. I told him it was a Muskie 360 podcast. With a great puzzled look, he said, have a nice day, and walked away. I'm all sense healed and can't wait to get on the Muskie Antler. Thank you for everything. So this guy got his clip, Jay. That's funny. Sorry, I can't read right now. I've been up since 6:30. I'm on hour 15. So this guy went from the big old snip snip on the old Menards and listened to the podcast. Jay, how does it make you feel that a man was snipping at another man's Menards when he heard you talk?
That's something else. That's a great story, Eric. I'm just curious. The whole Menards connection, I mean, is there any shot he's the guy?
What?
You know, that got the gift card out of the dumpster?
Oh, he might have the dumpster of destiny.
I mean, how are you going to pay for an operation like that?
I mean, you would need a gift card. Eric, are you the dumpster of destiny? Freaking, do you have an arrangement? Oh, dude, flat out, bro. Freaking, I'm on the boat with one of my friends, Brian, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, who did that voiceover last week? I was like, what are you talking about? He said, that news clip. I was like, that was real. And I sat down, we got a fish earlier. I sat down, I was like, dude, watch this. You'd sent me the two pieces.
Yeah.
And he died. So if last week with the news thing, if you thought we did that, no, that was real, boys. That was real as they got. Kyle, one last question here before I shut up. I'm looking to break into rubber jerk baits. I've never thrown them. It's not something I've done very often. I've had obviously no success throwing rubber jerk baits. How do I get started? What is the best introductory bait to rubber pull pause baits, as you guys call them? Jay, have at her.
Well, number one, reference the video that Steve and I made called The Complete Guide to Musky Fishing and find the rubber/jerkbait section and watch that, because you did an awesome job as an overview.
I know I did, Jay.
Jason. Yeah. Jason. I was right there coaching you all the way with all the cue cards. Remember the cue cards?
You're writing everything down. I'm just saying what
I wrote everything down. Oh, no, you got it wrong. Try it again.
4 days it took.
Take two. No, there's really no take two.
I just rambled it off. But nonetheless. Boom.
Yeah. Shack-a-like. But no, that'll give you a great overview. So, yeah, in terms of what kind of baits to try? Well, depends on your setup. If you've got a moderately weighted setup, don't go huge. You know, just get regular size bulldogs. Get regular size toothy tough. You know, get a mid Medusa. That's a great, pretty much year round.
I would say this is like when guys, I've seen it a bunch where guys are like, I'm going to start throwing big river. They go for like monster everything. They just jump the shark like Fonzie and go.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
Deep. Because, I've caught more good fish on moderate sized things than I have on like monster Medusas or pounders or I've got the Dan at Toothy Tough sent me one the size of a small child. I mean, it's a great bait, but
yeah, the monster stuff is appropriate for very small windows in time. You know what I mean? It's like throwing surface bait all day. You don't want to do that.
Right.
Because most of the time fish are negative and neutral. You want to fish appropriately.
Right. So a moderate action rod, a moderate bait selection, like you said, mid Medusa, standard size bulldogs. You could do the standard little alien eel.
7.5-inch red October tubes.
Yeah. Or a Kraken with the skirt cut, your choice.
There you go.
It's just one of those things where you go, you have to spend the time where I've had so many opportunities to have guys on the boat. Like, I've never caught a glider fish. I've never caught a rubber fish. Mm-hmm. Well, we just did because it was seasonally appropriate or conditionally appropriate.
Yeah.
The weird thing about rubber, and I'm not talking, again, not breaking out the Magnum or the Pounder or the Monster stuff, is right after the spawn, a regular bulldog will work. They might want a 4-inch crank, but they'll hit a standard dog. Right? They'll hit that normal size Medusa. You go, okay, ain't mad at that. Put the time in until you get the bite, right? When do I put the time in is the next question, Jay. We'll save ourselves another email. High bright sun, dead flat calm, post-frontal. So I say that because most of our gliders, when I watch them on panops, they go left, right, and they just fall. If you get a good rubber bait, it goes forward and up. It's not that different, right? I know you guys are, it doesn't go left and right. Go, watch it and watch what it does and tell me it's impressive, right? Jerk bait. Add rubber into your less than prime conditions, right? You know, everybody wants to go out and fish the Northwoods opener with blades and topwaters where you go, okay, well, they're not catch fish. Maybe I mix it up in the midday or whatever it is. The most simple retrieve I know on rubber is I call it like for a lefty, for like me, it's 12 to 9. For a righty, it's 12 to 3. Pull it across your body, let the slack fall, reel it up, pull, pause. But I think rubber's transcendent, wouldn't you say, Jay?
It's what?
Transcendent. It pretty much works all the time.
It sure can.
I mean, it doesn't work 100% of the time, but there's no time in the year where I'm like, no. Right. Like post spawn, I'm not breaking out 13-inch grandmas. No. Right. Maybe I'm missing the boat, but I want to put fish in the boat. So I might throw baby shallow raiders or I might throw little slammers, but I'm still going with that standard size dog.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing with rubber baits is being comfortable with the gap. Same thing people do with glide baits. Whack, 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 whack. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Right? It's got to be moving. the next step in your musky journey is pauses where you do nothing. Let the bait do the work. Right? I've had guys, well, the Kraken's running shallow. That's, you're overworking it. Up, point the rod out, let it go down. Up, right? Or do a glide bait. I had a client today. I mean, he's been with me before, but he's never caught glide bait fish before, Jay, right? We'll definitely probably use this video this year. In the first thing I say, okay, I've got a right hand rod in my hand, which is goofy for me. Go. It's going to look weird, but here's how I want you to do it. 1, 2. And you go, 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. So you count it out, right? 1, 2. 1, 2. Well, the second set is the pause, right? So it's left, right, 1, 2. Left, right, left, 1, 2, 3. Left, right. You see what I'm saying? Create space. Create space. Make yourself vulnerable. The less I think the key to musky fishing is this, for anything other than blazing topwater, the more action we have with the least amount of advance is crucial. I've always thought that, but you know, when we get the glider things, what are you going to say?
Well, ask any avid musky angler who is proficient with jerk baits and who is proficient with rubber baits in general, and mm-hmm. ask them to think back how many
of
the fish they've
all
caught has all come on the pause.
All.
And they will say all.
I mean, it's like.
Think about that. Analyze that, what that means to. You have to incorporate that more.
I pulled the video up from today where the guy went, the fish was probably like 6 feet off a break, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with jerk baits, not dissimilar from the, I rewatched the Kraken launch video, right? So Jay, to somehow, through a miracle, I'm teasing, Jay caught the first production Kraken fish ever. Within, Jim Stewart was stretching his arms when you caught that fish.
Yeah,
it was your first cast of the day. And Jay's like, how do I work it? I said, don't work it like a tube. I said, let it go down.
And no, I didn't say, how do I work it? I said, watch how I work this thing, Steve. Pay attention.
Yeah. You can.
go ahead.
I'll be Hootie. You can be the blowfish, buddy.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be Hootie. You're the blowfish. Do the math, Jay. Anyway, we gab about it. We have videotape to prove it. Just the difference, which is in that hook set, Jay goes to go for the next upward rip, and it's like fish. It's not like smack. There's somebody home. Got a day. 1, 2. He goes 1, 2 after. 1, 2, 3. He goes 1, 2, 3. He reels in for the next one. Oh, got one. The bait is in mouth, right? So, hold on for a second. What is it? Yeah. Okay, I just want to tell you this, guys. Big announcement. Monster announcement. My wife, Jody, just texted me.
From the other room?
Yeah.
Okay.
My cat turns 11 this Friday, everybody.
Just having a party?
Jay, please clap.
Yahoo!
I need a place to live. If you don't clap, Jay, please clap, Jay. You know Jody, she's a cruel taskmaster.
Oh, Jody, yeah. Well, congratulations, I guess.
You got it. Anyway, so Jay reels into this fish.
Oof.
And it's there. I watched the guy today, like, got him, right? That is often the thing of, like, the pause. It's so strange. I tell people when we're fishing the Kraken or we're fishing glide baits, it's like, the way I set you up is this. Okay, they're not going to hit while you're doing something. You're going to hit while you're doing nothing. When you feel something different when you go to do it again, set the hook. And I have set the hook on baits that leader grab a million times. or they're goofy or they're stuck in a tree, whatever it might be, when you go to pick it back up, because there's something, slackline provides this unencumbered thing to your presentations, right? So whether it be a shallow raider and Joe's going slackline twitching, or I'm going to Kraken, slackline popping, or glide bass, pop, pop, and the count. When the bait is constantly seeing a vector of force, it's constantly moving forward. You got to ease up. I think that with a bulldog or a Medusa, the Rubicon you cross, the mountain you get over, is that constant connection to the bait. When you go, oh, there he is, when you come back into it, right? Mm-hmm. You might not feel the bone-jarring bucktail hit. You might not feel the smash, but you go, whoa. And I've done it so many times. I mean, Jay, we have fished Red October tubes together. We fish Krakens. You know, we fish so many of these baits. Whether literally Titans on a float up, and you go jerk them down, you go, oh, I got one.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to grab them when you're not doing anything. The less you do is more. The reason that is, you go, well, why would that matter? It allows for unnatural angles of fall or rise. So the beat of the Titan, well, sometimes they rise towards the boat. You'll literally jerk it down. It'll do a 360 and come the other way. I mean, they do goofy stuff, right? A bulldog, you rip, pause with some slackline. It might go left. It might go right. It might fall backwards. It might fall forwards. Typically, they're going to fall forwards. But it allows this fluff period where it's mixing things up, opposed to this constant duress. Forward, 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 right? So slack line is the key. I think we're talking about rubber. Slack line is the key to everything past straight retrieves. Shallow invaders, shallow raiders, twitch baits, slammers, slack line, right? They do goofy stuff. The difference between a follow, these guys are like, I'm getting follows, I'm not getting strikes. Are you fishing jerk baits and twitch baits? You will convert 90% more if you're allowing slack line on those retrieves. I promise you that. You know, if it's a straight retrieve bucktail, well, create your depth and speed change. But I don't get a lot of glide bait follows. I get glide bait eats. I don't get a lot Kraken follows. Yeah, I get some. But if there's an active fish that is predating, if I just go, but. Disconnect, and that's the best way to go. I do not feel this bait for a moment. When I come back to this bait, I need to be aware, is it the bait or a fish? What are you gonna say, Jay?
It's about a vertical plane versus a horizontal plane. A horizontal plane is like active fish,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
You know, then the vertical plane is 89.2% of the other time.
Yeah,
when they aren't turned on, and you know they're a little bit more sluggish and curious, and it's about the vertical plane, whether it's a slammer that floats up after you twitch, mm-hmm. stop, or whether it's a glide bait or a jerk bait, a bulldog.
Damn,
you'll sweep, slack, let it fall. And that's when they
you'll hear it from everybody. I mean, it's not like we're echoing the something no one else has said. Jay, next week I'm going to take donations for a new chair. It sounds like a horror movie. Hear this thing?
It's a squeaker.
I'm sorry, folks. I'm putting my boots back on because my feet are cold. Oh, he's got cold feet, Jay.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I've worn out another pair of winter boots, Jay.
I was doing that thing. You're like, throw an oh in there before you read that line.
Oh, you kids, yeah. Make it more Northwoods. Yeah, I mean, I could go for days about how important slackline is, which is, guess what it is, Jay?
What is it?
A theoretical directional change. when you're not touching the bait, it can do what it do. I made Jay say it, do what it does. Well, guess what? Slack line, do what it does. It do what it do. It might go left. It might go right. It might go up. It might go down. It might go sideways. It might turn sideways. It might go belly up.
And it might be subtle, but it's wiggling when it does it.
Right. Which is, what is a triggering mechanism? Jay?
Yes, Steve?
How can people reach you if they want to buy crack from you?
If they want to what?
Buy crack.
Reach me at the Muskie Shop.
There you go,
just
folks.
Just ask for Fred.
Ask for Fred in the parking lot, you know. What's the code word?
crappie.
Folks, go to the Muskie Shop, look at Fred and say, I need some crappie. I need some banging crappie. I heard you're the rod bender, right?
He's going to get all fired up. He's like, well, I got an opening on May 16th.
He'll get fired up. I'm like, no, I need it today, son. I'm at work. You're like, no, I need that hot crappie. Anyway, Jay doesn't sell crack, nor does Fred. Anyway, Jay Bird, say good night and Avita Zane.
Yeah, good night, guys. Thank you.